in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. I ask your prayerful attention to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, to chapter 10 and to verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the lessons that we read, we read of the sufferings prophesied by Isaiah of Emmanuel. The sheep were as sure as his dumb, so he would open not his mouth. Wounded, tormented, put out his soul unto death. We then read the second portion in Isaiah. Oh, the sweet invitation of the gospel. And these sweet invitations stand upon a sure foundation of the finished work of Jesus. Read in the two gospel portions, Jesus cried, "It is finished." The sufferings were finished. The conflict was finished. Sin in the people of God through all generations, from the first day to the last day, Adam's day to the second coming of Christ. Sins put away forever and ever, never to be seen again. We have a type and the scapegoat, do we not, of the Levitical law. So the congregation were confessed by the priest as he laid his hands on the scapegoat. Confessed the sins of Israel for that year, led away into the wilderness by a fit man, so far away it couldn't find its way back. Type and shadow of the Lord, pardoning and not remembering our sins anymore. The devil may try and remind us of our sins, and it can be painful at times in the conflict of the soul, but we have an advocate with the Father. His blood was shed once. He died once, the apostle tells in Hebrews. Yes, my friends, and he was laid in the grave. His work was finished in putting away sin. But he rose the third day for our justification. And all believers, as they're resurrected by the Holy Ghost, yes, they arise from the cell of darkness and unbelief and worldliness and follow Christ. They're still poor sinners. Oh, yes. We read the word of God very clearly. But our friends, they live in hope their sins are forgiven. And yes, they are again brought to repentance. I think I prayed we have to repent. Well, intended to anyway, repent daily. We confess our sins daily, not abstract sins, or sins of years ago, though they can be painful, but our present sinnership as we realise our abject poverty, our susceptibility to evil thoughts and imaginations, envies, covetousness, pride, anger, murder in the heart. Yes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. This is our human nature. And my dear friends, we read about the Canaanite dwelling in the land, in the Judges. My friends, we've got that old Canaanite inside. But what a mercy that he gives us a victory through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We're still having to believe and trust and repent. And he gives us a victory over those sins. We view things by faith. And she has brought his love in our heart that we may begin to live by faith and love him and love his ways, his laws, his people. Well, what a gospel we have before us. Oh, my friends, eternity won't be too long to praise and magnify him. Will they see the real glory, the glories of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Innumerable love, innumerable wonders in Emmanuel's land. But we must get there. But we view it by faith here in the love of God. Now the apostle here, in teaching the Romans, writing to the Romans, indeed shows them something very wonderful, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Those that believe, my friends, are freed from the curse and jurisdiction of the law. They're not free to sin. His laws are in our heart. Of course, those people do backslide. We know that. I'm sure you know it yourself. But the point I want to make here, the beautiful point, is that, yes, he gives them more grace, and they plead that grace. You see that in Christ, in your pilgrimage here, that can save you to the uttermost, in all changing sins and situations, in all snares and sorrows and heaviness and worries. And so, you see, he shows us plainly that beautiful truth that Moses described as the righteousness which of the law. The man which doeth those things must live by them, and nothing's done, is it? But the righteousness of faith, be it on this way, we do not say in our heart, who shall ascend? Because we know that Jesus ascended. Faith knows it. Who shall descend? That is, who shall pay the penalty? Who shall suffer for us? Who shall bear the iniquities, our iniquities? Because we know he's descended and ascended. That is, bring up Christ again from the dead. The apostle applies it very plainly here. But what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word of faith which we preach, thou shalt confess. Here's the grace. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's divinely certain. What encouragement to confessing sinner, the coming sinner, the needy sinner, the guilty sinner, the struggling sinner. Believers, sinners saved by grace. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness. God's work in your heart. It's, you believe personally by spirit that dwells in you. And believing you trust him and wait for him and look unto him. You daren't turn back. And with the mouth confession made unto salvation. It's a sad thing when those who see a precious in Jesus don't confess it openly. Christ is not glorified. I know it's a difficult area because we feel very sensitive and very guilty at times and so weak and so nervous. But friends, this is the nature that we possess. We aren't always prepared to confess Christ as we should confess him. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. We come to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, firstly consider this, whosoever. And then the precious name of the Lord and the calling upon him, which is the believing in him. If you really believe, you confess your sins. If you really believe, you trust in him. You look to him. You value him. He's your Saviour, your Lord, your faithful, solid friend, your elder brother, your God, your King, your husband. And my dear friends, we would consider this something that Great salvation, that looking, that trusting, that believing. It's God's word. Now, it's a believing all your days. Trusting all your days. I'll try to come to that in a moment. For whosoever. That whosoever is God's secret. Nothing to do with group level, denominations, or this church or that church, or that hold that position, our position, my friends. It's God's work in man's lost soul that helps you to really look to Christ. Holy Ghost makes him precious and real to you, a living Saviour. Whosoever. Read that portion, of course, of the dying thief. I did it purposefully because what a remarkable case. The scriptures are full of remarkable cases. Remarkable cases. Of sinners being saved by grace. Particularly come to the New Testament. Think of the backslidings of Jehoshaphat or David or Solomon. You think more of David, really, don't you? Because outwardly there were greater transgressions, it seemed like. But Solomon's sin was even greater. He worshipped other gods. That's capital. He brought idols in. Outlandish women. Oh, the sins of God's people. The lies of Jacob to get a blessing. That's a part of scripture I can't fathom. I wonder at it. I love the truth of it. A sinner was saved by grace, a twisted personality. On now this son, Esau. He was Jacob. But God, this is grace to Jacob. Grace to Jacob. God blessed him though he was such a crooked character and lied. He didn't receive the blessing then, but he was now under covenant blessing by that way of the patriarchs blessing and teaching their sons the worship of the true God. He received the blessing at Bethel, didn't he? Can any of you look back to a Bethel when the Lord was precious to you? Perhaps you can't. Well, do you look to Christ? You'll come to some Bethel sometimes and keep looking to Christ and fleeing to Christ. For whosoever, that's God's work from beginning to end. But it says whosoever means literally, and I can't enlarge the word any more than it is, it's a large word, whosoever. Man up the road may begin to call upon God, him to be God and looking to Christ. Saved by grace. This grace is not hereditary. It doesn't run in families or genetics and things like that, or in nations. Think of the multitude of people who have been saved in England over the centuries, and so many in these British Isles and throughout the Europe and all the continents of the earth still being saved. God's work. Great thing is, bless me, Lord. All religion is personal, so when you begin to have a personal vision by the Spirit, you begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And it's a wonder to you, isn't it? Some people are tempted to say, well, I know that's true, but I seem so formal. Call upon the name of the Lord. He can bless you. Perhaps you have to say, oh Lord, I can see that I don't feel I've got the right motive. I've got something wrong inside. Yes, we have. Call upon the name of the Lord. Self-examination is not good away from looking to the Lord Jesus. We have to examine ourselves. We're told to in the Psalms. Prove our own selves. But friends, it's as you are in Christ, you see. Now, if you haven't received Christ, let me say this to you. Call upon the name of the Lord. Tell the Lord you're not real, you're empty, there's something wrong with you. Call upon his name. Shall be saved. Now I must try and come to this calling upon that name. It's not merely taking up the name of Jesus in Christian religion. It's believing. Believing. that's so clear in this chapter. As we believe, so we begin to know who he is. And we need him, reconciliation. And as we read his word, we see all precious things written to encourage us. You call upon his name. Oh, you plead that wondrous name. So it's believing in the heart. Christless prayers are no prayers at all. They're worse than useless and a mockery. But with Christ, a view of Christ, now be careful I say this, a view of Christ, you may not have had a view of Christ as yet, but believe in your heart, thou canst bless me, Lord. Thou canst give me a religion. Thou canst save me. Thou canst come where I am. I'm so complicated and upside down, but thou canst make crooked things straight, rough places plain. Bless me. Ah, my friends, do you find enmity in your heart about certain gospel truths? Pray about those gospel truths. The Spirit can make them precious and real to you. There may be verses in the scriptures that worry you and you don't like to look at them too much. God's word, read them prayerfully. Jesus can explain. He can make the give you understanding, and he can make himself precious at all parts of the word of God. Whosoever shall call. Well, it's that believing and looking. See, life in the soul brings us to prayer, doesn't it? So it's calling upon the Lord Jesus for everything. What's come to another thought in my mind is the name of the Lord, Jesus, the Son of God, God with us. Oh, a perfect, wonderful, tender friend. Look at his life. He never refused help, never refused mercy, never refused blessing, never refused forgiveness. The poor, the needy, the guilty, the confessing, the humble themselves before him, they will never refuse anything from him. We had a proud rich man came to him and tried to justify himself by keeping the law. And asked him, what should I do next? Well, he was told to go and sell all he had and give to the poor. And he was sorrowful. I think I'm writing saying this, I've probably said it here before, that he was the only man we will have in the New Testament who went away from God sorrowful. Went away from Jesus sorrowful. The blind, those caught out in their sins, the guilty, the weak, the lepers, the lame. Even the dead were raised. Oh, my friends, you see, Christ is the friend of publicans and sinners. Publicans, of course, in the scriptural expression, was the Roman authorities and the gathering of, they were tax gatherers, cheating tax gatherers. Oh, my friends, how indeed he never sent anyone away. The name of the Lord Jesus. My friends, he is God, the Son, with God, the Father, his Father, and God, the Holy Ghost. These three are when they bear record in heaven. Great mystery. I must also think of the creeds in this. Co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost had no beginning and no end. A wonderful God. My friends, and from the Holy Father, our Holy Father, I speak to the believers here, your Holy Father, the fountain of all grace, that he internally thought upon his dear Son to give him to be our Saviour, and to save us, he must become a real man. Man must be punished for his sins. If man's to go to heaven, he's going to be dealt with completely and absolutely. Therefore, he gave his son, his dear son from himself, in our nature. And therefore, you see, he highly exalted him. Now he's finished that work. A perfect Saviour, our high priest. Friends, we must have a priest between ourselves and God. But we become priests, because you're the kingdom of priests, as we draw near ourselves. A priest is one who draws near to God and prays. We pray to our great high priest to pray for us in the presence of God. I think intercession of Jesus, I've sometimes lost sight of. He intercedes. When we say, Lord, help me because of a problem at home. Lord, I feel so poorly this morning. Lord, help me. Got a problem at work. Lord, help me. Family trials. Lord, help me. Continually pray for help, aren't we? Well, he intercedes as you call upon that name. Oh, to believe in Jesus more in our prayers. Believe he's well able. He can do everything. All wise, all good. My friends, he'll never do evil, but he does know best. He knows our need of grace to be submissive, our need of grace to be upheld, need of grace to be supported. He knows our need of wisdom to be given to us, strength to be given to us. He can open doors that we can't open. He can shut doors that we would like to shut, perhaps. But if he shuts them, they're shut. And it's good for us. He never does anything wrong, never makes a mistake. As your king and as your high priest, he hears your poor prayers. Let's go down a little, shall we? Half-hearted prayers sometimes. Unbelief gets inside your prayers too. It's like a contradiction and denial, isn't it? But there we are, that's nature. He hears the bleatings of his sheep. He knows you really need him. He reads the inner sanctuary of your heart. You need all his mercy, all his grace. Whosoever shall call upon that precious name shall be saved. I think the beautiful priesthood, though, he fully understands our cases. He's Son of Man. He's Son of God. He's deity. Oh, my friends, how he's so compassionate. He understands the plight of the lost. He saw man in his misery. Heavenly Father instructed him in the appointed time to assume our nation, the womb of the Virgin, and come forth. And you live for it, and weave our righteousness for it. Another doctrine I particularly love. But it is made very precious to me. His name, that he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. God requires righteousness at my hand and your hand as being our creator. We're fallen too late. But Jesus stooped so low under trial and sorrow and temptation, and was made sin for us who knew no sin. He was made a sinner, but he our sins, think what the wicked thoughts you've had in your life. Think some of you sat in chapel and hated somebody. Oh, how you lied to your parents. So much of it, isn't there? Up to our dying day. Still, we've got a sinnership. I'll just break in and break off here with a hymn I like. I have to pray it for myself. Do thou my sin subdue, thy sovereign love make known, the spirit of my mind renew it, Lord, and save me in thy dear son. Prayer of the poor and needy. Well, he knows these things. He reads your aching heart. And in grace, he writes his laws. He comes to lodge with you and sacredly influence you with the Spirit's work in your heart. You're softened, you reverence him, you humbled before him, you rejoice in him, you worship him. You really believe in him and keep coming to him. You trust him. While there's trials going on in your life, an everyday call to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold upon eternal life in Jesus alone. The name of the Lord, that dear, precious high priest, so full of sympathy and understanding, knowing our infirmities. And may be such a king, the royalest of all royal kings, high to all high kings. Friends, he stoops to be with us, the friend. And in our trials, our sorrows, in his life here, never sinned. My friends, he was smitten, afflicted, spat upon, despised, had a devil laughed at, ignored. Why him? He's mad. Let's go away. Our believer, he suffered all these things, providential trials too. Where to lay his head, ministered to by godly women. Oh, my dear friends, he suffered hunger and weakness and weariness. Voluntarily, not in his sacred humanity, because that was pure, but friends, he suffered it. God suffered it, that he should enter these things, yet remaining pure in his sacred humanity, and a real man still, and as being the Son of God. I sometimes put it this way. By virtue of his deity, all that he did, was virtuous and meritorious as a man, by virtue of his deity. As a real holy man. Oh, how he did all things by virtue of his deity. He was God and could do everything. Oh, Job said, I know thou canst do everything. It's true today as it was yesterday. Be a truth forever and ever. Oh, the name of the Lord. Yes, my dear friends, that real friend of publicans and sinners, a merciful Saviour. And God has covenanted concerning that name. Is the covenant set forth. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now in this calling, you see, there's a real believing, and I'm going to repeat myself on this point, of believing in him. For the heart, man, be unto righteousness. The mouth, confession made unto salvation. I remember years ago, old deacon at Rotherfield, his name was Fenner, and he went on holiday down to Folkestone, and my parents had a week at Folkestone, one of the years in the 1950s, I can't remember which year it was now, and he sent his love, I've got full tongue to my dad, he sent his love to the pastor, Dave Scotton. He said, give him the love of a believer. That struck me. He said, many people call themselves Christian. He said, don't say Christian love, the love of a believer. He told him to say the love of a believer, not Christian love. That struck me rather. I know perhaps you're saying, well, you're a bit over pedantic, but no, I know what he meant. He believed in the Lord. He's actually a blacksmith. He was quite a simple man, really, dear old boy. Died years ago, of course. My friends, he was a believer. And knowing a little bit about him, made his mistakes, poor man, as we do. He's a believer. He trusted. He looked. He waited for God. Do you really believe, my friends, we can wait patiently for him, can't we? Do we believe he has all power? All power? Do you believe he has a prerogative, holy prerogative, ministering that power? Do you believe, my friend, he is love? Oh, my friends, do you believe his wisdom? Absolute wisdom. Nothing about you or any one of us here this afternoon is hidden. Now, all our heart. Ah, his eye is omniscient. He sees everything. He's omnipresent. He hears everything. And my dear friends, he has omnipower, omnipotent God, omniscience with him as well as omnipotence. Beautiful truth, isn't it? Yes, he has all power to move hearts, soften hearts, direct your steps into the way of peace in looking alone to Jesus. It was that grace enabled Jonah to look out of the fish's belly. Jonah got himself into the trouble. And I suspect believers here can say, well, I got myself into that trouble. Easy to do, isn't it? Because we're frail, we're sinful, we're weak. But, oh, my friends, how he was the only man in the storm that was asleep, living carelessly. He was the cause of all the trouble. And the mariners, the sailors, didn't want him to throw him over. But they had to in the end, didn't they? But he said, throw me overboard. Because he knew that the storm was because of him. He was willing to leave himself in the hand of God. An act of faith. Like Samson said, let me die. Of course, Samson died a righteous death. But the others were ungodly. He was one righteous man among ungodly people. But he was willing to be, not quite the right parallel, but I feel it shows similar things. He was willing to go into the raging sea, trusting in God. And God prepared the great fish. Some call it a whale, but that's perhaps man's limitation. Leave it to a great fish of the deep, swallowed him up. And there he prayed from the bottom Mediterranean Sea to his God. And called upon the name of the Lord. And so, my friends, he went to Nineveh. God has his way with his people. He's acting disobediently. He didn't go the way he knew he should. Went the easy way. The way he should go was, well, too much worry. The impossibilities with him. Ah, my friends, how he had to do as he was told. I say that very carefully and reverently. He didn't do as he was told by God. He had to do it. And we may have to do as that we're told by God. And though we may tremble and shrink back from it. Because omnipotence and love will work in your life to perform and make us willing in the day of his power. With God's power, we can do all things. God's strength. The apostle said, didn't he, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And let's come back to the subject more properly. The name of the Lord. That loving, merciful high priest who's touched our infirmities. The poet says, he knows what sore temptations mean if he has felt the same. We may think it like, you know, like a water on a duck's back, it runs off, doesn't it, because of the greasy feathers. Wonderful creation of God, isn't it? They can swim and dive in the water. You may think, well, you know, it was easy. It's not easy, my friends, for Jonah. Not easy for God's dear people. They're not like water on a duck's back. You feel the trial, the temptation, the sorrow, what you are. But you feel the temptations of Satan against you. You feel the cruelty of others. You feel the trials at work. You feel the trials in the family, the worries in the family. Oh, my friends, but here is the sure remedy, divine direction, gospel truth, for whosoever. That includes the impossibility of the case, as well as the whosoever, shall call upon the name of God, shall be saved. I must come quickly along because I could have passed already. Now, he's not here. He's risen. He's in heaven, interceding and praying for you. He lives no longer to die. It is forever. It's not the permanentest life. Oh, my friends, that living Saviour in heaven. He says they shall be saved. All their changing scenes and worries and situations. We've all got a trial that's equal to us all. There's something more fearful than others. I realise that. The dying bed, or the deathbed, or the unasked when we shall be suddenly cut off. But I think often the lingering to die is possibly a great more trial than sudden death. Because sudden death is sudden glory to a believer. And the one or two godly people suddenly dropped. But their life testified that they were waiting for the kingdom of heaven. But many of us, you see, we don't know about ourselves personally, but no doubt we'll come down in the general way of old age and weakness and trials and afflictions coming. And in that long illness, perhaps there's more conflicts, more temptations, more distresses. And then two of the godly people in my life, one in the north, one in Kent, one in Lancashire, one in Kent, that had a triumphant deathbed, but before that triumphant deathbed, they had much temptation. And Satan tempted them about their sinnership. Oh, do you remember that? Do you remember that? Remember a godly man crying out, no, oh no, oh no. Lord, save me. And one in the north as well. But my friend, you see, they were saved by grace. You'll have to confess your sins to your dying day. If you're not much of a sinner, you don't worry about it. Then, well, then that's your danger and your folly. But we're all sinners in God's sight. There are no little sinners and small sinners. We sons of men compare sinnerships. The soul of the sinner that shall die. My friends, what's in into the heart of our first mother? It does look good, doesn't it? Yes. I shall agree with you, old devil. It looks good. One day it's tasted, well, go on. You'll have such light given to you. You'll get like God himself. And God doesn't want you to get like him. And so she fell. She took it. And gave Adam, this tastes quite nice. We should be like God. Poor man, he took it too. Here we are today in a mess. A complete mess. Temptations abounding. Troubles coming and going. Worries. An unknown future. Oh, to believe. Oh, to believe in the Lord. Call on that precious, precious name. Confess your sins in your calling. Jesus, we read in Mark, came along and said, repent and believe the gospel. That same gospel also says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And one of the other gospels has the same. It's a great theme, isn't it, of the gospel? To repent of our sins daily. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. It's God's pure, precious word. Be not afraid to confess. Make the worst condition known before God. Spread it before him. Your heart may smart inside you, yet still call upon him and wait upon him. He's faithful that promised. Oh, my friends, you see, he was made sin, and he sacrificed himself. He gave his life a ransom for many. Therefore, my friends, he got the victory, died for the ungodly. It is finished, we've mentioned earlier. And see, it was all the church was forgiven then. He didn't just, when Jesus died, he didn't just believe in a nebulous mass of people his Father had given him. I believe as being Son of God with his Father, he's God, he knew everyone and he loved them. Oh, did Jesus love you at Calvary? He loved you then, he loves you now. Oh, may we seek him to know these things more. Ask the Lord may make himself more precious, and more real, and more vital to us. The name of the Lord. Now God has come to consider that name. The apostles preached, neither is there salvation in any other. With none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And here it is, isn't it? Of course, we read in Joel, this is a quote from the Old Testament Joel here, you see, as well as also being in the Acts of the Apostles. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. End of Joel 2. And it says here, saved. And what a deliverance there is in Christ. Oh, the finality of the death of Jesus. Death is the finality of us. But he rose. And we shall rise with him. Believers will rise in the grand resurrection. That first resurrection. That glorious resurrection. These all died in faith. Bodies sown in corruption will rise in incorruption. Bodies sown in mortality, they rise immortal. Wonderful truth, isn't it? Shall be saved. But to come to an unthinkable closing, but throughout all your life, we need much saving. We take a journey. Now, we all got to go to the journey home tonight, haven't we? Some just a couple of miles or so, less than that maybe. Some a good number of miles. Who needs safe journeys? Care and keeping. We think of what lies before us. Many things. You may have hospital appointments or worrying times ahead. You see clouds gathering in your life. Call upon that precious all-prevailing name. It's what God has said. It is God's word. Yes, in the gospel that shall come to pass that whosoever shall call and the name of the Lord shall be saved. Of course, here he's setting forth in the ceremonial law, they had to do services, offer sacrifices, and there was ceremony to do so they could receive atonement. But never really wasn't satisfactory. God couldn't pardon sin by the death of a bullock or the death of a sheep, a lamb, or a goat. No, blood was shed to set forth a pattern of the death of the God-man, the lovely, loving Saviour Jesus. Now, I must close. I know I've got to force myself, but just one last thought. He is love, you know. The scripture says it. Don't be afraid to come to the Lord. Oh, my friends, God is love. It says it twice or three times in the scripture. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him, not perish, but have eternal life. God is love. Why are thou afraid to come? Why are thou afraid to tell thy case? He will not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are seated on his face, so he never sent anyone away. He's the same today, now he's living and reigning in heaven. He'll hear your poor prayers on one ground, his great name's sake. Oh, may we ever reverence that blessed one and ever delight in that blessed one who sits at the right hand of God waiting to be gracious to us. For whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. And ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Gracious Lord, do bless thy word to us. Make it a living word. Forgive all mistakes in preaching, anything said wrong. And forgive the distractions perhaps in hearing. Or may a few things remain to do us each good. Have the glory of thyself. And after refreshments, Lord, do grant all safe journeys back to homes in peace and safety. Prepare us for the Lord's Day. Prepare us for thy goodwill and for eternity. Our dying day and glory, where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Prepare us that that blessed place, Lord, we pray. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.